just played and we sang earlier, His Robes Alone. We, Dine and I, actually were introduced to that hymn back in June when we attended the IFCA National Convention in Colorado Springs. Our song leader is a pastor and he's also a hymn writer. And so he shared with us some of those hymns that he's written and said that we could take his hymns back to our church and sing them. And I did exactly that and gave that to Jill. And talk about theology. Oh, wow. Like Tim said earlier in our elder prayer time, whenever have we sung the word propitiation, right? I think it's about the first time that I know of that it's in a hymn. But we'll sing that again, and when we do, you read those words and sing those words. They talk about everything we've been talking about these last number of weeks together in this series, So Great a Salvation. Well, we want to continue on this morning and talk about possibly the greatest of salvation words, that being justification. Justification. Dr. Roy Gustafson, a former evangelist, associate evangelist with the Billy Graham Association, who's now with the Lord, by the way, told the true story of a man in England who put his Rolls Royce, I don't know if you know anything about a Rolls Royce, my understanding is that they cost over $400,000, that car. I definitely can't afford it. He put his Rolls Royce on a ferry boat over to Europe in order to have it there to travel around Europe on vacation. And while he was traveling around Europe, something happened causing his car not to proceed. You see, a Rolls Royce never breaks down. It just fails to proceed. Well, in any case, the owner of that car wired back to the dealership in England and said, "What am I to do? I got a problem here." Guess what they did? It's a true story. They flew a mechanic over to where this man was, and he fixed his car, and the mechanic flew back home with the result that this owner of the Rolls Royce could continue on his vacation. Now, as we would probably do in a similar situation, the owner of this car began to wonder, how much is this going to cost me? So when he got back to England, he sat down and wrote a letter asking what it was going to cost him. And he received a letter back that read the following: "Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that any Rolls Royce has ever broken down at any place, at any time, for any reason." This story beautifully illustrates the next word that we want to consider now in this series, So Great a Salvation. It's the word justification. You see, you may fail, you may break down, and no matter who tries to accuse you of sin, whether it be Satan or someone else or even yourself, God's response to the Christian is always the same. "There's no record anywhere in my files of this, because what I see next to your name is the word righteous. And that is because I have declared you righteous, which means your record has been credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ." My friends, that is the truth of justification that we're going to look at this morning. Now, this is word number 7 in our ongoing look at 10 key salvation words this summer that describe, first of all, what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, making our salvation possible. And then second, the spiritual benefits we personally receive from Jesus Christ's death on the cross. So by way of review, we have looked at a number of words, and I keep bringing them back to you because I want you to be able to essentially define these words in your mind. The first word was that of substitution, which means what? Jesus took our place. He took my place. The second word we looked at was atonement, which means that Jesus removed our sin. The third word being propitiation, the word that we just sang about a little bit ago, which means Jesus satisfied our judge. And then we looked at imputation, which means Jesus credited his righteousness to our account. And then we began to look at the benefits of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And thus far, we've considered two of those words. A couple weeks ago, regeneration, which means that you can start your life over. You can have a new beginning. And then, of course, the word that we looked at last week being redemption, which means that you have been bought and set free from slavery to sin. Now, to underscore the importance of this word, justification, I want to quote from several individuals, beginning with my former theology professor, Dr. Joseph Pinter, who writes concerning justification, and I quote him, "Every doctrinal facet of salvation is important. Justification, however, is particularly important, for it drives to the heart of the issue of man's relationship with God. In that sense, it has been proclaimed by many to be the most important soteriological truth for man." Here's a second quote. A second quote about the importance of justification. It comes from Dr. Charles Ryrie, former distinguished professor of theology at Dallas Theological Seminary. He writes this, "Justification is not only one of the great benefits of the death of Christ, but is also a cardinal doctrine of Christianity because it distinguishes it as a religion of grace and faith. And grace and faith are the cornerstones of the doctrine of justification." One more quote. It comes from a man who lived back in the 1500s. His name is Martin Luther. You might recognize that name. One day, while reading in his Bible, his eyes fell upon the words of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I want you to open your Bibles and look at these words because they are so important. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now look at verse 17. This is what really struck Martin Luther. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." When Martin Luther found these words, or more accurately, when these words found Martin Luther, they changed his life forever. No longer was he willing to remain a Roman Catholic monk who served in a monastery. Instead, he took the blazing truth of justification by faith taught in these verses and elsewhere in the Bible, as we will see this morning, and ignited what is known as the Protestant Reformation, which eventually spread throughout Europe and to the ends of the earth. We are here today as offspring of the Protestant Reformation because of what Martin Luther believed and proclaimed about justification. In fact, listen to what Martin Luther writes about justification. "This doctrine, justification by faith, is the head and the cornerstone. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the church of God. And without it, the church of God cannot exist for one hour. For no one who does not hold this doctrine, or to use Paul's expression, this sound doctrine, is able to teach aright in the church or successfully to resist any adversary. This is the heel of the seed that opposes the old serpent and crushes its head. That is why Satan, in turn, cannot but persecute it. So as these quotes remind us, justification is a critical word of the Christian faith. It is so important that if you do not understand its meaning, I suggest to you that you don't understand Christianity. You have to understand this word in order to understand Christianity. You could be right about many other teachings of the faith. You could be right about the inerrancy of Scripture, or the deity of Jesus Christ, or the Trinity, or the work of the Holy Spirit, or the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we could go on and on. But if you are wrong when it comes to this word, you are wrong at the very center of Christian faith, my friends, because justification says it all. By the way, Martin Luther also said that the teaching of justification by faith alone is so important that those entrusted in teaching this truth must, and I quote now, beat it into their heads continually. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to beat it into your heads, but gently. So don't worry. Now I want to begin by addressing what could be called the dilemma of justification, the dilemma of justification. You know, a very common symbol of justice that we see around today is a blindfolded woman with a balance in one hand and a sword in her other hand. What this symbol conveys is that justice is not only fair, but also has the authority to punish. You see, the health of a nation is dependent upon a legal system that is fair, that shows no respect of persons. Plus, it must be based upon verifiable facts, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And at the same time, justice must be balanced with mercy. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave Israel the principles for legal justice in several passages, one of the most important be that of Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. So turn in your Bibles now back to the Old Testament, and I want you to see this because it kind of lays the foundation for a lot of things here. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. There we read of God telling Moses the following. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. If there is a dispute between men and they go to court, okay, now we know the setting. If there's a dispute between men and they go to court and the judges decide their case and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall then make him lie down and be beaten in his presence with the number of stripes according to his guilt. Now, from this we learn that, like today, the accused was either guilty or innocent prior to his appearance before the judge. Either he broke the law or he didn't break the law. And the job of the judge was to ascertain the defendant's guilt or innocence on the basis of the evidence. His job was to declare an innocent person to be righteous in the eyes of the law and society, and to declare a guilty person as such in the eyes of the law and society. The judge had neither the right to condemn the innocent nor to clear the guilty. That is, he could not make a righteous person into a guilty person or a guilty person into a righteous person. That was not what he was entrusted to do. But unfortunately, judges are human, and so they may be bribed or they could misread the evidence leading to a wrong conviction. We understand that. Solomon warned of such injustice when he wrote the following in Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, listen now what he says, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Something we need to remember today. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Now, the concept of spiritual justification must be seen against the backdrop of civil justice. The judge, of course, is God himself. Numerous verses throughout the Bible speak to us of God being judge. For example, Abraham said this of God in Genesis 18:25. Far be it from you, he's speaking to God now, to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth deal what? Justly. Deal justly. And then in the New Testament, we read of Paul calling God the righteous judge in 2 Timothy 4:8. So when it comes to spiritual justification, God is the judge. Now, who is on trial before God? We are. Do we have any judicial standing before God? The answer, of course, is no. Man lacks any judicial standing before God. Why? Because in God's eyes, we are all guilty. What have we done to make us guilty? We have all broken the moral law of God. Paul put it this way in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. He adds in verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because we are all sinners who have all broken God's law, Paul declares in verse 20 of the same chapter, Romans 3, this important truth. This is what he says. No flesh will be justified in his sight. No flesh will be justified in his sight. That is, Paul is saying here that there is no way we can change our guilty position before God. It's absolutely impossible. Now here we arrive at the dilemma of justification. First, as we just noted, since we as sinners can do nothing to change our guilty position before God, the question becomes, as Job asked in his book in chapter 9 and verse 2, how can a man be right before God? That was a question that Job thought about. And by the way, Job's friend, Bildad, asked a similar question in Job 25 and verse 4. How then can a man be just before God? Or how can he be clean who is born of woman? So that's the one side of the dilemma. On the other side of the dilemma is this. If God must act in a just and righteous way, then how can he deal with sin and declare a sinner righteous? Well, there are only three options available to God. The first option is that God could let bygones be bygones. That is, he could skip over our sin and forgive everyone and make everyone in the world righteous. That's one option that God could do. But the problem with this option is that if he did this, he would not be righteous and just. But God is, of course. We know that. So he must deal with man's guilt. He cannot ignore it. Plus, he would violate the very principles of justice that we just looked at, that he gave to Moses, as well as what he gave to Solomon. The second option is that God condemns all. He just goes ahead and condemns all. That is, he sends all of us to hell. That's an option. But this option would violate as well his character, in particular, his loving grace and mercy. Plus, it would leave you and me, guess what? Hopeless. That was the option, that we would go through this life and then die and just go to hell. We would have hopeless lives. Well, the solution to this twofold dilemma for God is a third option, the one that he chose. What is this option? It is called justification. Justification. This brings us to our second point for this morning, which is the definition of justification. The biblical term justify means to declare or to pronounce righteous. To declare righteous. So theologically speaking, justification is the act of God whereas he declares the sinner who believes in Jesus to be righteous. Now let me unpack further what justification means. First of all, justification is a forensic term. What this means is that it's a legal concept related to a courtroom scene. It concerns a judicial pronouncement concerning a change of one's standing before God. Second, the opposite of justification is condemnation. As sinners, all people are condemned. But through faith in Jesus Christ, A person then can have that changed. A person is now justified in the eyes of God. Third, justification does not mean to make righteous. It means to declare or announce righteousness. In the act of justification, God declares the sinner righteous. And what he does then is that he removes the sentence of judgment against him by transferring the sinner's sins to Christ and Christ's righteousness to the sinner. Fourth, justification is a matter of biblical fact, not feeling. It doesn't matter if you feel this morning justified or not. You may not. You may have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed, and frankly, you're not feeling just that great this morning. Well, it doesn't matter if you feel justified or not. The scriptures simply state that believers are justified and mention nothing about feeling this thing called justification. Fifth, justification does not mean, as frequently talked, just as if I never sin. I'm sure you've heard that before. I've heard it throughout the years. God never looks at us as though we had never sinned. God never pronounces us innocent of our sins. We stand guilty before God because we've defamed God's holy character and have violated his righteous rules. You see, justification is God declaring us righteous in spite of our guilt. Sixth and finally, justification is instantaneous, it's complete, it's final. It's not a process where one Christian is more justified than another. All saved people, no matter how long they've been saved, whether it's been 5 minutes or 50 years, all saved people are justified in God's eyes and have the same righteousness. Justification happens to every believer at the moment of salvation. Now, having defined justification, I want to move on now to consider thirdly this morning the details of justification. By this I mean exactly what's involved in us being justified before God. Well, for the answer, we need to turn to the central teaching in the Bible on justification, which is the epistle that Paul wrote to the Romans. In this New Testament epistle, Paul lays out the details that makes justification the wonderful salvation word that it is. Let me show you this. So turn in your Bibles now to Romans. We're going to look at some verses here. First of all, we learn from Paul the source of justification. The source of justification. It is God alone. Turn to Romans chapter 8 now. Romans chapter 8. And look with me at verses 29 and 30. Notice what Paul writes. Beautiful words here. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, notice, he also justified. So no church, no parent, no friend, no priest, no pastor or minister, no one can declare you to be righteous in the sight of God. No, God alone is the source of justification. When Paul set forth the wonders of our salvation in this passage, he pointed out grammatically that God is the subject of the verb justified, and we saved ones are the direct objects. So the source of justification is God alone. Second, we learn from Paul the essence of justification. According to Paul, it is God's grace. He tells us this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. So just flip back a couple of pages. Notice what he says there. Being justified, verse 24, being justified as a gift by his grace. So justification is a gift of God's grace. What is grace? It is God's unmerited favor. That's what it is. It is kindness from God that we don't deserve. So as used here, it means we are justified even though we don't deserve it. Justification is by the grace of God. Third, we learn from Paul the price of justification. The price paid was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross when he shed his blood on our behalf. Look at Romans chapter 3. Hopefully you're there. Look at verses 24 and 25. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, notice now, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by what? By his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. So the cross work of Christ is the price for our justification. You see, the demands of divine justice had to be satisfied in order for us to be justified. And in his sacrificial death on the cross, Christ forever satisfied those righteous demands of God when he shed his blood as a payment for our sins. And what is this called? It's called propitiation, the satisfaction of God's righteous wrath against sin. Fourth, we learn from Paul the channel of justification is faith. Look at chapter 3 and verse 26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just, notice, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Look at verse 28 in the same chapter. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. So again and again, Paul drives home this important truth that justification is by faith. It comes through faith in the person and work of Christ. It is not something that you have to work up. It's not something that you do through your own effort. You are not justified before God by going to church or, you know, giving an offering or, you know, being baptized or whatever. Those things count for nothing, my friends, when it comes to biblical justification. Justification is procured by faith. Now, what is faith? Well, this word is derived from the Greek word pistoule, which means to place confidence in, to be persuaded of, to think to be true. That is, we are justified when we place our complete confidence in the person of Jesus Christ, because we are persuaded that his death was sufficient to pay for our sin problem. We accept as true that God has credited our sin to Christ and as well has credited the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. And of course, this is called imputation, another word that we looked at several weeks ago. See how they're all connecting together now? They're starting to come together, all of these words. Well, fifth and finally, we learn from Paul the results of justification. What are they? Well, let me point out several to you. One is forgiveness of sins. Look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verses 5 and following. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So when you are justified before God, one of the great benefits, one of the great results is that of forgiveness of sin. And what a wonderful gift that is, my friends, to know that your sins have been forgiven. And I shared with you a couple weeks ago, how that affected me when I was first saved. That was one of the things that the Holy Spirit impressed upon me immediately, that my sins were forgiven, all of them. And it's still true today. I believe that with all my heart. A second result is peace with God. Paul writes the following in Romans 5:1. Look at it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What this means is that because of justification, we are no longer at war with God. No longer. No longer are we considered his enemies, and that's what we were at one time, enemies before God. Instead, what marks our relationship with God now is peace. Why? Because he views us as one of his own. A third result of justification is unlimited access to God. Look at verse 2 there in Romans 5. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace into which we stand. You see, as unsaved, we had no access to God because we had no standing before God. Well, justification gives us that standing where we can now come to his throne of grace at any time, anywhere, and guess what? Have access to God. I love the story that is told of a man who sat crying outside, who's sitting on a bench outside the office of President Abraham Lincoln. Those were the days when citizens could come into the White House anytime and ask for an audience with the president. And oftentimes they were able to do that. In this particular case, though, this man was denied access. And so he sat on the bench and started crying. Well, a little boy came up to the man and asked him what was wrong. And so this man shared with him his story, and soon the boy took the man's hand and led him past the guards right into the office of President Abraham Lincoln. You see, no one stopped them. You know why? Because that boy was President Lincoln's son. That's why. As believers in Jesus Christ, he takes us by his hand and leads us into the throne room of the Heavenly Father, where we have access to him anytime we want. Unlimited access to God. A fourth and final result of justification is the assurance of glorification. You know, earlier I read Romans 8:30, which reveals that God is the source of our justification. But if you notice, I didn't finish out that verse. Here's what it says. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And then notice, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. Wow. Yes, what awaits all who experience justification is glorification. Paul would have us know with absolute certainty that everyone whom God has justified is eternally secure. In other words, what awaits you and me one day is the hope of heaven. It's the possession of eternal life. That is God's guarantee to you and me today as justified saints in his sight. So we could summarize the details of justification as follows. We are justified freely by God's grace, not by human merit, through faith, not by works, in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross when he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, which results in forgiveness of sins. It results in peace with God, access to God, and the hope of eternal life. Well, I have a fourth and final point to share with you before we close, and that is the display of justification. You know, justification, again, is the divine act whereby God changes a sinner's standing before him by declaring the sinner righteous. That's justification. But that doesn't mean our salvation is to be, you know, strictly a private matter between us and God and that no one knows about. No, our justification carries with it the guarantee that other changes will follow, visible changes that should be displayed in our lives before others. In fact, this was the perspective of James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the following in the New Testament epistle named after him in chapter 2 and verse 24. This is what he said. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now this verse obviously has generated a lot of controversy down through the years because James seems to be contradicting the biblical teaching of salvation by faith alone that Paul championed. Let me just say here, because of the obvious lack of time that I have, that James is complementary to Paul. That is, he's complementing, not contradicting. There we go. I got my words straight here. James is complementing, not contradicting what Paul wrote. James is giving us the human perspective of salvation, while Paul, in his writings, is essentially giving us the divine perspective about salvation. Paul was talking about how sinners become saints, while James was talking about how saints are to look before sinners. See? Thus, the Bible does not teach a salvation by works, but a salvation by faith, which displays itself through works. The teaching of the Bible is that a person is justified before God by faith and before men by works. So I hope you understand that. So, are you putting your faith into action through works that point others to God? Let me remind you that we can tell people all day long that we are saved. But guess what? In the end, they can't see what happened in our hearts between us and God. They can't see that eternal transaction that took place. But what they can see is the changed life that we display before them daily that confirms to them the reality of our new standing before God. In other words, when people see you acting and speaking differently, when they see you being faithful to your wedding vows, when they see you living a life of self-sacrifice, when they see you forsaking your old sinful habits and replacing them with new godly habits, in other words, when they see a life justified by works and not by faith alone, this is what gets their attention, my friends. This is how Christians display their faith and prove to others the reality of their justification. So let me ask you in closing, and we are bringing this to a close now. First of all, are you justified by faith this morning? That is, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say, having been justified by faith, I have peace with God? Can you say that in your heart of hearts? If you can't, my friend, then you need to do something about that. And all you need to do is cry out to Him. Cry out to God and trust His Son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate price for your sins. It's that simple. It's that simple. And it's all you have to do to be justified by faith this morning. Now, granted, probably many of us here have done that. I'm confident of that. And so my second question, as we bring this to a close, is this. Are you justified by works this morning? That is, has your salvation made a difference in the way that you live your daily life? Being declared righteous in the sight of God should produce changes in our attitudes and actions that ought to be visible before others. Is that true of you? Are you a Christian who looks and acts like a Christian should look and act before others? Do you demonstrate before the world that you have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ? Justification, the divine act by which you have been declared righteous by God. What a possession, what a blessing, what a benefit of salvation. A seventh reason why the writer to Hebrews calls our salvation so great a salvation. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are just overwhelmed this morning, overwhelmed with the truth of your word and the impact of it to our lives, Father. To think this morning that we can be justified in your sight. Lord, there's nothing, as we saw, nothing that we could do to change our standing before you, Lord, on our own. We were condemned sinners, rightly so, because of the sin that we've committed, Lord, because of our sinful nature that we've inherited through our parents all the way back to Adam. And so, Lord, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that could change our standing before you. And Lord, if it ended there, we would be living hopeless lives. There'd be no reason to continue on. Might as well just die and go to hell because that's where we're going to end up anyway. But Lord, by your grace and by your mercy, you sent your Son, Jesus, your beloved Son, that perfect, righteous man that he was, God in the flesh, and he willingly bore upon himself our sin. As we observed during communion, he laid down his life, he shed his blood for us. And now all we have to do is put our faith in him, to count it as true, to believe that he indeed did this, and that there are results that come through his death. Thank you, God, for that this morning. Thank you that through faith in him, we can have a change of standing before you. And so that what we have written over our record is the word righteous instead of condemned. Bless you for that, dear God. Help us, Lord, to know these truths, to appropriate them in our lives, because where we spend eternity will be decided by our choice. And then we, Lord, who know you as Christians, we who have been justified, help us, Lord, to be justified before others by our works. May the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives so affect how we act and what we say. Not that we're perfect, Lord, but nonetheless, we are different because God has made us different through justification. So, Lord, thank you for all these things, for the wonder of our salvation, so great a salvation that is ours today. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.